Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's a little hard for me sometimes to get past verse 9 through 13, but there's more to the chapter than those particular verses, and there are some of my favorite in that, as well as the earlier part of the chapter. But I want us to focus in on verse 14 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll look. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now look at chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you're yet carnal. For whereas there's among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? There are three individuals that God mentions here in this passage. There is a natural person, there is the spiritual person, and there is the carnal person. And the question that God is asking us tonight and asking me as well as you, are you a natural person? Are you a spiritual person? Are you a carnal person? And as we look at the order that it is mentioned here in verse 14, it talks about the natural person. The natural person, as we would say it in our classification and our thinking on that, is a person who is without Christ, who is lost. A natural person is one who is born in this world and does not believe in God or has not heard about God or that knows about God and doesn't want to follow. And so a natural person, notice what it says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God. A natural person doesn't want to hear the things about God. They don't want to know about God having control. They'd seem to do it their own way, do it in their ability. And that they can do it themselves in this. The natural man, think that the things of, for they are foolishness unto him, the things of God. They said, this is silly. Just to believe and that God can do something, that this will happen just because you believe it, that's kind of ridiculous. They laugh at everything that we might want to tell them about God. And what God does and how he does it. And when we explain something and a miracle that is performed in our lives, they don't receive it. They tried to explain it in a natural way. And they tried to find a natural cause for it. And it's not supernatural or from God itself. Yet those who are spiritual see it totally different and understand it different. And so notice again now verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. A natural man just cannot get it. They just won't understand, cannot understand. In fact, God tells us that there's a veil over their eyes and where they cannot see things unless they come to Christ. And then we find the natural man is not only where he will not understand the word of God, he doesn't want to hear the word of God, but look at John chapter 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. Here we find there was a natural man who wanted to be religious, and he was. In fact, he exceeded the part of being religious. He was a ruler of the Jews. Everybody thought that he was very spiritual. But come to find out that he was natural and he wasn't spiritual. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And this was very difficult for Nicodemus to understand at first. Why? Because he was natural. But then Jesus revealed something to Nicodemus that we must understand about those or about us and those that would be considered to be a natural person. In John chapter 3 and verse 18, he that believeth on him, on Jesus, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The key issue in this is coming to the place where you believe that Jesus of Nazareth, born of a virgin, is the Son of God. He is God himself in this. And Nicodemus had to come to that place before he could understand the things of God. To be born again, you come to that. So a natural man is condemned already because he has not believed in Jesus. Now, you can have a natural man to be a very good man, very good person, a loving person, a helpful person, but they're lost. They're condemned already. We find that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. When the Bible talks about they're condemned already, it's talking about the world itself, those that have never heard of Christ. Now, we've got a lot of religious people in this world that's never heard about Jesus. They're trying their best to be good. But without Jesus Christ, they're condemned already, regardless of how good they are. But in light of that, even those of us who've been born again, washed by the blood of Jesus, sanctified and justified, we still sin. But not in the sense of condemnation of that of not believing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And then in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22, but the scriptures hath concluded all, not some, not part, but all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You can sum that verse up in saying whosoever. And that all have sinned. The gospel is for everyone. It's not for one class or one group of people. It's for everyone. It's for the natural man, that they might become a spiritual person in this. And then in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, this is what we're mostly familiar with, and we want to classify all involved in this. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 and verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now here's two classes of people. One that claim to know God, which is circumcision, that's talking about the Jews. And then everybody else is a Gentile as far as the Jews are concerned. Now we take that in the same light as those who are saved and those who are lost. Not that the Jews were saved at that point. But there were two classes involved in that. But the Bible brings out they're all the same. In verse 12, it says that at that time you were without Christ. The natural man is without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, have no part in the promises of God. Strangers from the covenants of promise. They not only don't understand it, they don't want it, don't want to be part of it. Having no hope and without God in this world. Those last two phrases really bring about fear. Having no hope and without God in the world. We have seen that in this great nation of ours. It's been in all the nations of the world down through the centuries. A people who lived together without hope, without God. Then in America, we were so blessed as God developed this nation, and then it was based on the principles of God. Man, we could walk our streets with no fear. We could not have to worry about locking our doors. Man, we'd go off leaving the key in the car, and you had people helping one another, people looking after one another. The peace, the assurance. And with that, all because we had assurance and hope in God. But as we started slacking off of telling others about Christ in America, as we came to the place where we assumed everybody knows, they're born in America, they know about God, and they don't. I remember when I was pastoring in Weatherford, Oklahoma, received a phone call one day, and this lady on the other end, she was really had great panic. She was just crying and going on. It took me a little while to calm her down so I could understand what she was saying. And she said, my daughter came home from school and said that something was said about Jesus. And she asked me, who is Jesus Christ? And she said, I couldn't answer. And the guilt came, and she realized she had no hope, no God. And she was in a panic mode. She was trying to find somebody that could tell her about Jesus. Now, this is in Weatherford, Oklahoma, where we have a university there. Churches on every corner. In fact, when I got her address and went to her, she was two houses from a church, on the same block of a church, just two houses down, in the shadow of a church, did not know who Jesus Christ really was. She said, I've heard the name. Heard it as a curse word. And I knew that it was a religious term, but I had no clue about it whatsoever. We find that since in America, we have neglected to witness to our neighbors. We've neglected to witness to those who we do business with. We've neglected to live a life before them. We've tried to compromise and be like the world so that they would come in. That'll never happen. We've got to lift the bar so they'd have something beyond what they can do that they can come to. And as a result of that, now today in our nation, not just around the world, in our nation, the majority of our people do not have hope. And when you don't have hope, you're going to panic. And you'll turn to everything else, to the occult, to drugs, to alcohol, to everything. You'll turn in every which direction you can, trying to find some hope in life. And if you don't find it, you take it out in violence. And that's now coming across America. That's a natural person, without hope and without God. Without God. People today, the natural person is trying to trust in what they can do, what the government can do, what the military can do, what the society can do, but not what God can do. What a sad, sad situation that is there. So this is the natural person. Now, what about the spiritual person? Look at our text again, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He that is spiritual. What is a spiritual person? How do we declare or recognize a spiritual person? Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Now the natural person is also referred to as a person of the flesh. That's a natural person, a lost person of the flesh, lives by the flesh, by their ability. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That is, you're a spiritual person. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So first of all, the spiritual man has his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit dwells in him. In verse 10, now if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. When you are spiritual, you have put your faith and trust in Jesus and in the Heavenly Father. You know that as Jesus was raised by the power of God, and that you'll be raised. Regardless of what happens to our life, the bottom line is that you're going to live forever in the presence of God, not only in heaven, but on this earth again. That's a spiritual person. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, like a natural person, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So a spiritual man is one who is led by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God, in trusting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, concerning the spiritual man, and where we might kind of take a little check on our lives. Are we natural or spiritual? And so in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible is very clear in this, as God tells us in Colossians 3 and verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you claim to be spiritual, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. This is not our home. We're just passing through. Our Father is the creator of all. So why do I worry about a few things on this earth? The natural man wants to accumulate all that he can. He thinks he's successful with the more things that he might have, whether it be of goods, whether it be of finances, whether it be of land or whatever else might be. The spiritual man, he's got his sights far above that. These things perish, but the things of God are eternal. And that's the difference between the spiritual man and a natural man. And then as we look at the spiritual man, look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. A natural man goes through the world with no hope without God. There's nothing that they could really find assurance in, and they're groping for something. They're trying to find an anchor in a storm, and they can't find one. They're trying to build a solid house, a solid life, and it's the sand that they're building on, and it's just shifting out from beneath them on that. There's no hope in them. But the spiritual man, he has a purpose in life. What happens in his life benefits others. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, so a spiritual man, fruit of the Holy Spirit in a spiritual man, is love. Wouldn't you agree with me what this world needs is love? But it needs the love of God, not the love of man. It needs the love of grace, not the selfish love. You see, the spiritual man is of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, that of God. Joy. I tell you, don't you like to be around a person that's just excited and joyful? It's not gloom and doom, as the pastor tells us, but it's joyful. A spiritual person is joyful. Peace. Oh, when things are rough and the storm is raging, a spiritual man is calm. Why? They know that they're in the hands of God. He'll take them through the storm. Long suffering. We want to say long suffering. I'll suffer a little bit, but don't take me too far on that. Long suffering. That's a spiritual person. And then it says gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith. To see things that others cannot see. To act on things that others cannot understand. Faith that gives you hope and takes you where others cannot go, takes you into the impossible area, and you experience that it becoming possible because it's all by God. Faith is something that you do not earn a degree in. Faith is not something that you, it's something that everyone can have. It's simply you believing the word of God. That's a spiritual man. I'm not going to believe the words of mankind. Got some good advice from some men, but I tell you what, my belief is in God's word. Man will lie to you, but God doesn't. And that's through faith. Then it says meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So a spiritual man would be involved in the fruit of the Spirit. Totally different life. A life that is not only good for that individual, but that life touches the lives of everyone that it comes in contact with. When you're doing the spiritual thing and you're really a spiritual person and the Holy Spirit has control and moving through you, you're going to touch every life that you come in contact with. They benefit from you being in their presence that is there. What a blessing it is. Not to destroy the world, but to help the world. Not to condemn the world, but to give the world hope. Not to tear someone down, but to build someone up. To love the unlovable, touch the untouchable. Oh, that's what the world needs, a spiritual person that is there. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, and of course many of you here tonight have heard the gospel over and over again. I would assume many of you here tonight, and I said the word assume, but I would assume that you have prayed and asked God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus. There could be some of you here tonight that's been playing church. Could be some of you here tonight that's gone through the action but have never really repented of your sins and asked God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus. But from your actions, I can pretty well assume some of those things, but I do not put it down as a fact. I've known of people who, even preachers, that have preached the gospel of God and God moved, seemingly moved in their lives, that was lost to just a natural person. But praise God, they did become a spiritual person and coming to that saving knowledge. And that is that we believe that Jesus died for us, was buried and raised again the third day, and we repent of our sins, ask God the Father to forgive us and to save us by the blood of Jesus. And sometimes people say, well, how do you know you really believed? Well, in that same passage of Romans 10, it tells us that whosoever believeth is not ashamed. You'll want to come forward and make it public in all the ways that you could possibly make it public, not only in being in a local church and testifying through the baptism of waters, obeying God and serving Him, but then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. A spiritual man has Jesus as his Lord. Not just entitled. Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I do? A spiritual man obeys the word of God. But then there's a third person. We can understand the natural person that being lost, the spiritual person is being saved. But what is this about a carnal person? Look at that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. He talked about the natural man, a lost person without hope in this old world, sinful. Might be a good person, but under sin and condemned already. Talked about the spiritual man that's born by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that lives in the power and the love of God. Then he talks about a carnal person. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now the carnal person is one who can be a spiritual individual that has slipped back into the fleshly activities. Or a carnal person can be a natural man that's trying to be spiritual without coming through Jesus. They'll join a church. They'll get involved in all the activities going on, but they've never repented of their sins, never asked God to forgive them, to save them by Jesus. Some of them thought they did because they were misled as to how to be saved. And they followed that particular way, thinking that they're saved, but still are lost. They're carnal and act carnal. And so we want to look at a carnal person. In verse 1 says that I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. A spiritual person that will not grow or doesn't grow is still a babe in Christ. And they're going to act worldly, a carnal individual. They're not going to follow the Holy Spirit. They're not going to have that joy and peace. They're always complaining about something. Nothing is right. It's too cold, too hot, too loud, too soft. They got everything they can find involved in that. See? Just like children. Now, no, I'm not going to change my classroom. This has been ours for years. Don't you come in here. Don't you move me to another place. You know, I like children. They've got their little spot, and you don't mess with them. And if you take my toy, don't you get my furniture. Just a bunch of children. Now, they can be spiritual, but babes in Christ. That's a carnal individual. And then we find that they will not take sound doctrine. A carnal person is could be a spiritual person that doesn't want sound. It could be a lost person, a natural person that's trying to be religious. And if they're trying to do that, they definitely don't want sound doctrine. Notice that in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto were you not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Well, our churches is to be a training stations for Christians, to be a hospital to make Christians healthy. It's to be a home where that they can be taught, a school, university, to teach them the things of the Word of God. And as our churches begin to dwell on that, and we have that, we have the nurseries for the physical babies, we need some nurseries for the spiritual babies. Amen? And we have some of those, really, and we have beginner's classes and others, and rightly so, and there's nothing wrong with that. We need that because they're just learning. They need to know how to walk, how to talk, how to read, how to speak in this. But then we find that we've got a lot of supposedly adults coming along, and we want to feed them some meat, get into the depths of the Word of God, and what happens? They don't want to be there. They don't want to come. And so churches have found that, boy, now our attendance is dropping. People are dropping out, and we've got to do something. We need to be a successful church and have big numbers. So what do? You start entertaining. You start bringing other things that will appeal to the people and get them there. And then, though they knew this wasn't quite right, yet they wanted the people there, which needs to be true. And to justify themselves, they said, well, we're doing this so we can draw the people in and we'll teach them something. And that's where they fail. They draw them in, for if they start giving them hard doctrine, they're not going to keep them. Why? Because they're carnal. Either they're Christians who don't want to grow, or they're lost people who will not understand the Word of God. So they're not going to be there. So you can have a carnal person is one who is not willing to learn and doesn't want to understand the Word of God. They will not take the sound doctrine. And then another telltale sign, as we would say of this, of a carnal person, is found in verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for wherein there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Woo. That makes us really set at home in our churches and examine ourselves. Hey, what's going on here? We can't even hardly have a business meeting without it being a big brawl and a big fight, you know, and that. And so to solve that problem, they decide to have business meetings that really doesn't deal with anything. And so you're not going to have any arguments or anything. And just kind of play church in this thing, pass some things and get along with that. What is that saying? See, the people are not spiritual. That's there. They fuss and fight, pick. And if it's not done my way, it's not going to get done, you know. I'm not going to go along with it. And then we look at one another, and we look at their personality. We look at how they do things, and that's not the way we do it, so we're not going to have anything to do with them. We're not even going to sit with them. We'll move over. Somebody comes over now, we're going to move over to another section. And have fellowship? Oh, no, that's for somebody else. It's not going to be me. See, what are we doing? That's carnal. You haven't grown in the grace of God. You don't have that attitude of forgiveness. Now, you don't forgive someone because they might apologize to you. You forgive someone because of what Jesus has done. Have you learned that? That's a spiritual person. You forgive others just as God forgives us because of what Jesus has done. We forgive others because of what Jesus has done. And when you do that, you look beyond their activities and you see the real person, and you can have that fellowship that is there. Now, because God forgives us of our sins because of what Jesus does, doesn't mean he condones our sins. No, he still tells us what's wrong. And when you forgive someone because of what Jesus has done, doesn't mean you condone their sins. You see, then God will take care in correcting them, not you, but God will. And then you can love your enemies that only a spiritual person can do. A carnal person can't do them. So where there is among you envy and strife and divisions, and where that you want to make decisions of what God would have us do based upon our ability, no, we can't do that. We don't have enough money. We can't do that. We don't have enough people. And on we go. What are we doing? We say we can't do it because we can't handle it. That's carnal. We're thinking as worldly people. But when you're spiritual and God says that's what you need to do, we do it. And God provides whatever is needed, whether it be people, whether it be finances or whatever else, whether it be the ability within our own selves. I'm not capable of doing that. That's not the issue. The issue is God wants it done, you get into it, and God will make you capable. Amen? See, this is a spiritual. A carnal person looks at these other things that are there. And then in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Romans 8 and verse 5. We find again that the carnal individual, whether he be a spiritual person that is not growing, or whether it be a lost person that's trying to be religious, in that Romans 8 verse 5, for they that are after the flesh, that's a carnal person, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I can love you because God loves me. I can forgive you because I'm forgiven. That's the spiritual. But if I'm dealing with the flesh, I'm going to hold a grudge. You upset me one time, and I'm going to let you do it again. See? And I haven't forgiven you of that. Now, I might tell others I love everybody, but I sure don't want to be around so-and-so. You know, that's carnal. That's not spiritual. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. When we start to do something and God wants us to do it, and we start to find the biblical reason for doing those that are carnal, gonna throw that out the window. Don't bring up the Bible in this thing. Let's just do what you just can't do it. Say, we can't handle this. No. That's carnality. That's being a carnal person. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, are you a natural person that is lost without hope? There is hope for you. You can be saved and become a spiritual person. Are you a spiritual person that is saved, growing in God's grace and love, desiring to let God live through you by the Holy Spirit, desiring the Word of God, loving the Word and obeying God's Word, and just being a blessing as you serve God and He's a blessing to you? Or are you a carnal person that is a lost person trying to be spiritual? We have a lot of those in our churches, thinking that being a member of a church will save them. Thinking that being good will save them. They think they have to work their way in when you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by your works. Are you a saved person that's still a baby? You've been saved for 20 years and never have grown in the Word of God. That's a carnal person. But the problem with this is that a carnal person, whether he is a lost person trying to be religious, or he is a saved person that hasn't grown, still fussing and fighting and carrying on like kids, a carnal person stands in the way of a natural person becoming spiritual. That is dangerous. That's what's happened to many of our churches. Everybody in this community knows where these churches are in our town. Drive by them, pass by them. They read in the paper about the activities of many of our churches. They hear their neighbors and friends talk about things going on in their churches and feeding the poor and helping others. But they will not darken the doors. We wonder why sometimes. And we want to say it's because we're not out there talking to them, inviting them, and which we need to do that. And even though you do that, and you have good visitation programs, still they're not darkening the doors of our church. Why? Because of the carnal persons in the church. When they see a carnal person, it turns them off from God. What's the word they use for that? They call them hypocrites, don't they? Which are you? A natural person? A spiritual person? Or a carnal person? The decision is yours. Oh, to be that spiritual person, so that others would desire to come, to be that salt that would create that desire and longing for water, for the water of life, to be the light that shows them the way. What a joy, what a privilege, what an honor to be the person that God wants us to be, that brings others to a saving knowledge of Jesus and gives hope and assurance to a lost, dying world. Where are you? It can be changed tonight. If you're natural, you can be saved by asking God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus, repenting of your sins. And you can come and confess him before men. Father, Lord, and believers, baptism, fellowship, the church. You might be a spiritual person that is living the way of the world. Why not come and repent and get back right with God? And that you'd be that witness and testimony. You might be a natural person that's trying to act spiritual. Don't play church. Make it real. And you can be spiritual, not by yourself, but by the grace of God. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.